This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome, and thanks for joining us today. We have a really special presentation today with Vintage Homeschool Moms. I have been asking you guys via my email list, my e-zine, what kind of broadcast you want to hear. And so I had a couple of people email me back and say, you know, we love listening to the shows, but we are homeschool moms whose kids started out in public or private school, and we want a show dealing with that topic. So in answer to your needs, I put out a request on social media and some of the groups that I am part of with some other blogger moms. And my guest today volunteered, and she and I had a series of emails, and I really think you're going to enjoy meeting Michelle Pohl. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Felice, for having me.
Oh, I'm excited, Michelle, because when you sent me back an email, it wasn't a short email. In fact, it had points of a book that you're in the process of working on this very topic. So that was so cool, and I could see that you really had done your homework and, you know, had considered, you know, the difficulties parents have. So, Michelle, let's start with where people can find you, you know, your website, where you blog, as well as a little bit about you and your family.
Okay, I blog over at bloomingwithjoy.com, and I've been married for 10 years, so we have three little girls. We started homeschooling when my oldest was entering fourth grade. At the time, my youngest was entering kindergarten, and then I had a preschooler. And so it was quite a bit of a transition. It's become something that I'm passionate about because of all the work that we've put into making this possible. And so that's a little bit about me.
Yeah. And I'm sure everybody has a story about why they pulled their children out of school. And they all vary, and, you know, some of them are heartbreaking and others are, you know, just the Lord, you know, call them to it or whatever. But, you know, today our focus is really going to be on the transition and, you know, what it took, you know, to get your daughter acclimated to home after being in school, because now you've been homeschooling for how long?
I'm in my third year. We're wrapping up our third year.
So so your little ones then have never been to school. Is that true? Or
My middle one went to preschool, and we had some bad experiences there. My oldest, she was in various schools, two specifically. One was a great experience that I was sad to say goodbye to. The other one wasn't so great and was partially the reason why we decided to homeschool.
Mm-hmm. So then the baby, then the little one, has never been in traditional.
She's never been. No, she's always been home.
And you can see the difference, I'm sure.
I can. But another thing is, after being home with my oldest, the connection that we have now has been growing. And when I pulled her out, even though she was only in fourth grade, I was already losing her in a sense that she was being introduced to things too early that I would have rather her waited. And so I was losing that connection with her. And now over these past three years, we've rebuilt that trust. We've rebuilt that connection as she's entering middle school. It's been amazing because I'm the one that she comes to when challenging situations occur, when she needs advice. I've taken the time to build that relationship with her that had she continued on in public school, I wouldn't have had. There would have been a continued wedge that was growing between us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that tends to happen, you know, not only because of, you know, peers take the place of the family. You know, kids, the minute you go pick them up, they want to go to somebody's house or have somebody over, or there's this party or that party. And while that happens in the homeschool culture as well, every time we went on a field trip, there was always somebody else coming home with us, or my kids wanted to get together with someone else. So sometimes I had to lay the law before we left and say, you know, we're going on this field trip, and when we come home, there isn't going to be anybody else in the car with us, and you're not going anywhere else, you know, just to let them know. Or it would, you know, or then maybe we made plans with another family to do something that afternoon, or they could spend, you know, a couple hours together afterwards. But one of the things you learn quickly when you have children, and I have five of them, three are adults now, and my two youngest are teenagers, is that there's never enough. You know, there is, little kids don't think there's ever enough time. Like my grandkids, when they leave, they don't cry all the time as much, but the oldest used to always cry when she left. You know, and her mother would warn her and say, we're going to be leaving in about 20 minutes, and I don't want you crying. It doesn't matter. She's, you know, had been over all day, but it was like, parting was hard for her. So was your daughter okay with coming home, or was she upset? Because she was still young, you know, where I would consider she was still little enough.
It took her a little bit of convincing. She was in a bad state emotionally. We had a big move cross country, and now she was in a new school, had been in this new school for about 18 months, and had just started these friendships and this bond. So part of her wanted to stay, but the other part of her that craved mom's full attention, she wanted. And so at the time, I was actually working. I had finally found my dream job and was working. And after praying about what the next step was, I felt like God said, I want you to make disciples. And I was excited, thinking that was in reference to my new employment. But I heard him say, but I want you to start in your home. And I knew when I heard that, that meant homeschooling. And so I had to give up a big part of my life in order to come home and make my kids the priority. And it's not been super easy, but it's been worth the investment. And so she did have a say, but she didn't have a say because I knew and my husband knew that this was what was best for our family at the time. So that was kind
that
of brought
me very happy place. That you I'm sorry, I was just going to say it makes me very happy that she didn't have a say, because I see so many parents now, and I think because I'm an older mom, you know, I am not very diplomatic. You know, I feel that we have our kids for such a short amount of time. You know, it's really hard when they're little and, for example, everybody's sick, you know, and it goes through the family and you think you're never going to sleep again. And there's all of the, you know, just the growing pains the family goes through together. But, you know, I've seen so much now from when they were little, tiny, to marrying a daughter to having grandchildren. And so I look at it from the perspective of, you know, you've got them for that 18 years, you know, until they're either off to college or in the workplace or whatever. And you know, that isn't, it's like a drop of time. And so, you know, my kids know that, you know, there are a lot of parameters that they have to work through. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are not optional. And so, you know, so many times we ask our kids so many questions, like, you know, just from everything, like, what color cup do you want? And then when they get older and you give them a blue cup and they want the green one, we're saying, well, why are you always asking for a different color cup, you know, but we've been training them, you know, we're trying to engage them when they're little, you know, we're trying to get them to talk. Do you want blue or green? Which one is green? Which one is blue? You know, we're teaching them their colors. And, you know, we realize later, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, repercussions that come from that, but we don't see it at the time. And then, you know, a lot of times those behaviors are perpetuated. So I definitely went off on a tangent here. But that just, you know, I mean, I've seen parents at restaurants, you know, with kids who have had meltdowns and that kind of thing. And one of the things that people would say to us is, you know, your kids are so well behaved, like it's a weird mm-hmm. thing. So, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do, you know, some kids are going to have meltdowns no matter what. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like mine never have. But it's just a matter of, you know, being the parent and deciding what is best for them. And two, the same thing when they're older, I've heard people say, well, we'll homeschool until, you know, we decide differently or our children want to go back to school. And again, you and your husband make that decision, and mm-hmm. then as they get older, you definitely, you know, can engage your child. But if they don't want to continue homeschooling, find out why. You know, friendships and having the school experience, to me, does not bode well, you know. But for some mm-hmm. families, that's really important, you know. So you have to decide what's right for your family, and I would love to hear that everyone continues to homeschool, but, you know, I know, too, at this point in my life that everyone has to make their own decisions and what's right for their family, and, you know, we've continued to school through high school, and as one of my children said, you know, you would probably homeschool us for college, too, if you could. I probably would. And I know that there are some accelerated courses, but at some point they do go or need to go into the classroom. So, you know, it's something, you know, like you said, you know, each family has to decide. So then the biggest obstacle for you was what? Was it giving up your job or coming home or a little bit of both?
Once I had peace of giving up my employment, I had let that go. And you would think that teaching my daughter, the kindergartner, to read would be my biggest, or teaching my fourth grader fractions would be an obstacle. But the curriculums are so amazing that it makes those tasks doable. My biggest challenge was rebuilding my relationship with my kids and also staying calm, because we'd had this go, go, go. Everybody had their own life, so we were just used to this very rapid-moving lifestyle. And suddenly now we were home, and I was still such a reactive mom. I had to learn how to calm. And through that, my relationships with my kids were rebuilt. And I found several things that helped me calm down, which there were, I drink tea, that is one calming factor that was a practical thing that helped me calm down. Making sure I do my quiet time on a daily basis is something that seems so minuscule, but in the day-to-day when you're going, having that fresh start in the morning sets the tone of your whole day.
I love that.
Something as simple as a shower. That sounds so silly, but when you're up and you just jump into school before you've brushed your teeth, washed your face, you don't feel your best. I don't feel my best, and so I found I was crabbier on those days. So the rule in our home is, if we're not going anywhere, at least change into clean pajamas so that we're fresh and we're ready to make the day.
I love that. That's so funny. But I love what you're saying, Michelle, because the first three things that you gave me here, you know, you're drinking tea, quiet time, and a shower, you're taking care of mom. Mm-hmm. And that is so important, and I am the first to put myself last, because I am not one of these people that, in fact, I have like the little pet peeve is, you deserve it. If somebody says that to me, it just drives me nuts, you know, and I think that, you know, moms are to be selfless and giving, and so you pour yourself into your kids, you're not expecting anything in return. But when you don't get anything in return, you kind of are unsettled and upset, but you're not
you
sure why.
You completely fall apart.
Yeah.
Mom sets the tone in the home. You know, our attitude sets the tone. And so when we feel better, we're setting a better positive tone. And it takes a while to put things into place to help us calm. And it took a good solid year to rebuild my relationships with my kids. But as they saw me changing, they were – ready to make some changes and ready to trust me again in a new way that, you know, we were on this big learning curve as we entered into this homeschooling
journey. Yeah, I love it. No, I think it's so great. And, you know, I want to just share with you a little about the quiet time. When Neil and Christina, my two oldest, I feel like I've had two families with the same husband. Because
mm-hmm.
Neil and Christina were 14 and 12 when I had Nicholas. So I have
okay.
this big gap in between the first two and the last three. And, you know, Michael is my youngest, and then there's Anne. So I have the boy-girl, or
mm-hmm.
actually boy, yeah, boy-girl, boy. Forgot Michael. I forget Michael. But, and so with Neil and Christina especially, it kind of went by the wayside a little bit when I had Nicholas, because that really threw me, because then I had, you know, high schoolers and a baby. So, but I had my quiet time every morning, and that was, you know, they knew that I was going to be, you know, in my room praying. So if they woke up, you know, they could come into my room, but if I, you know, and peek in, and if I was praying and reading the Bible, that they needed to walk out. Well, that took some training because, you know, kids want to talk to their mom or whatever. And so, you know, they needed something or whatever the issue was. And of course I'd jump up. And then they realized that if they left me alone and let me have my quiet time, I came out a happier mommy,
mm-hmm.
you know, a much more content mommy, a mommy that was probably going to say yes more than no. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were, I overheard them telling their dad one time, you know, that, you know, if mommy doesn't have her prayer time, she's pretty grumpy.
You know, yeah.
Just tell it like it is. But
yeah.
that's, it's so true. And so you've got, you know, this is so great that you actually found the time. So one of the things I like to do in our podcast is to, you know, challenge our listeners to come up with some things. So, Mom, if you're hearing this, you know, come up with some things that, you know, maybe you can change in your morning routine. And, you know, if you don't have a schedule or a routine, that's something that is important. I like routines better than schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I have both, but I like the routines better because they're not so rigid. Whenever we
mm-hmm.
have a schedule like today, I had something going on, like five or six something today every couple of hours. And I knew what I needed to do. My phone was reminding me. You know, I had it written down. But that is harder for me than my typical day routine, where you know
mm-hmm.
you're going to be working with the kids at this time or, you know, going about your day. So that is so
yeah,
great.
Yeah, and
okay.
I think the biggest thing for me also was I didn't consider myself a morning person. And one of those things to become a morning person, first I had a lot of pressure on myself that I had to get up at 6 o'clock and have this quiet time and go for a walk and do all these things. And I had this rigidness. And so I'd be exhausted by the time we started school because I'm a homeschool mom. I have to be a morning person. And it was the obedience of having that quiet time and realizing, okay, God made me a certain way. I may not be my perkiest in the morning, but how can I be my best within the way that God made me? And I'm not a 6 o'clock wake-up person, but I have become more of a morning person than I ever have been before because I have learned new disciplines. And so I would challenge your readers with that, too. You know, don't disregard your challenge because you're not a morning person, but figure out how you can make the most out of your morning.
Right. And that's really true. I would always say if God wanted us up when it was dark, he would have made it light. That was my whole thing. But I knew that I needed to get up by 6:30 to be able to get stuff done. And so I finally just said to the Lord, you know, can't you just wake me up? I know you're the creator of the universe and you can do anything. And it was amazing that I would just pray and I would wake up at that time and
mm-hmm.
not always being so greatly refreshed, but just that I was up and awake enough that I could get out of bed, you know. And
yeah,
the days,
yeah.
My husband usually gets up at 5:30 and turns off the alarm about five times before he rolls out of bed. And half the time I don't even hear his alarm because I'm so, you know, gone. We have the gift of sleep. Both he and I, we are really blessed. I know a lot of people suffer from insomnia, and he and I don't. We can both, you know, get to sleep fairly quickly unless we're worried about something and everything. But it's really difficult sometimes to make myself go to bed because that's when I get a lot of stuff done is in the evening and then also to get up. But that is so good. So is there any other things that you wanted to add to that? Or did we cover those?
I think so. I think, yeah, okay. We covered that pretty good. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so, you know, you had a daughter who, so first of all, you have the three girls. So you had two children then, your oldest daughter and your middle one, who had the experience of, you know, getting in shiny little lunchbox and either getting on the bus or having you take them and, you know, having that entire school experience. And now you've brought them home and, you know, did you have any situations where they were comparing you to their teachers? You know, one of the things I joke about is, you know, if they get something wrong, I'll say, well, I guess I can't blame your teacher for that. It was me. So, yeah. But you know, they've been home. You know, my first two went to preschool, and then Neil actually went to a half-day kindergarten. So, you know, they did have that, you know, that little bit of getting to do that kind of thing. So I always laugh that, you know, I put my kids in preschool, and then I homeschooled through high school. After that, but you know, there was no comparison because they were so little. But your daughter was a little bit older.
She was.
Didn't have that issue.
Yeah, my husband and I, we didn't. I mean, we knew people who homeschooled from afar, but they were people that we could not relate with, and so we were just on an island, very traditionally minded when it came to education. My daughter had experienced a traditional education, so bringing her home was challenging because we wanted to recreate the classroom because that's how school's taught.
Right.
And she would compare me to her teachers, and it took about the whole first year to identify who I was as a mother and a teacher. And each quarter, things would progress. At the beginning, it was very challenging. By the end of the year, each quarter it would get better. But it was kind of like when you're in a ministry opportunity at church or at a job and management changes. You know, so learning to trust the new person that's coming aboard takes time, and it takes that person, that leader, and as mothers, we are leaders. We're leading our home. I mean, our husband's ahead of it, but in the school, we're leading our children. And it takes time to build that trust because what we've done is we've given over our power to the schools and to the teachers, which there are some great teachers out there, but we've given that over and just say, okay, here's my child, now teach them. And now I'm bringing them home, and so everything is completely different. And so it takes time, and that's why mom has to stay calm because, you know, if it takes 21 days for an adult to learn a new routine, it takes even longer for a child. And so it's mom just being diligent day after day, making sure that she's getting a routine and getting through things, but giving herself and her child that grace to transition and to know that she's not alone in that. There's so many moms that are starting to bring their kids home, and that transition is a challenging one. Unfortunately, there's no hard and fast answer. I do have some practical tips that have helped. One time my daughter wasn't doing her best in school and we were having this really bad day, and I was trying to establish this routine and she wasn't doing what I wanted her to do, so I had to give her a consequence. And by the end of the day, she had a fever. And so had I just checked for illness, you know, I could have softened that transition a little easier. Making sure my kids got enough rest was a big thing because, you know, they're so little and their minds can only take so much. They need that rest. Another thing is snacks. My middle daughter especially has to have a bowl of something in front of her. And usually she gets cucumbers or tomatoes, something healthy. If they have sugary things or if they have TV before we start school, I can just kiss that day goodbye. But if they're just snacking on healthy things throughout the day, that helps them to stay on task. And that also, that's a new thing that they didn't have at school. They couldn't snack all day when they felt like they were hungry, or they couldn't go sit in the corner of their room in their favorite chair. They had to sit up straight at the desk. And so as they started to see those changes, and they were more comfortable at home, that helped with our transitions too. Taking breaks also helps. As a mom who I'm very project-oriented, when we get up, we want to get through school and get through that day. But when you're going through that transition and we're throwing so much new stuff at them, to expect them to do a full day in 4 hours technically is possible, but they need time to break. You need time to laugh with them and enjoy each other's company and let that time enjoy it and enjoy getting to know one another again. This is a whole new area. You know, you've had your child when they were a baby and you've established your family values. But this is an area that you didn't have as a baby. You're starting, you know, at whatever grade you're bringing them home at. And so this is a brand new experience, just like if they were a brand new baby. And so taking that time to enjoy it and looking them in the eye and connecting with them is so much more important that first year than being so rigid on making sure that every T and I is dotted. Which, I mean, the curriculum is important too, but the connection, I think, is the most important. Establishing that, once that's established, your transition will go much smoother.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard of parents saying that, you know, they would be explaining something and they would say, well, that's not how my teacher explained it, and it was very frustrating for them because their kids were making that comparison, you know, to their teachers. What would you say, you know, to help somebody out with that? You know, I know your phrase now, Michelle, is going to be stay calm. So after they stay calm, what's the next step?
It takes several times to stay calm when it's in those moments. Yeah. But when you're getting the comparison questions, I would just look at them and say, because it's just new. You know, I'm your mom and your teacher, and I'm not going to be like your teacher. You know, for instance, I would have probably told my fourth grader, you know, just like your third grade teacher was different from your second grade teacher, I'm different from those teachers. And because we're in our home, it's going to be a little differently. And I'm going along with the curriculum that I have. I have these answers here, and I assure you that I'm doing this to give you a proper education. And so I need you to trust me. And I need you to follow along with me so that I can teach you the best way I know how. And if I don't give you the right answer, I'm going to find a way to. And I think that was another challenge I had, was what I would communicate with my daughter was different than what she heard. And so it took me a while to figure out her learning style versus my teaching style. And so I'd have to pause sometimes and pray, okay, God, how do I explain this concept to her? Because I think it's so simple, but it's completely beyond her. And right. In those moments, if I would pause and just take it to God for that, in that moment, I would end up with something to explain, a better way to explain it. Or we could just let that go for a little bit. When my husband got home, he's a really great teacher. He'd be a better homeschool teacher than I could be, but he has to work. But, you know, he would be able to explain it to them. And they liked that conversation, that it wasn't just a 5-minute lesson, that the conversations about education went throughout our whole family and it went throughout our whole day, and things that we learned in history would become dinner time conversations. And as they saw that transition and comparison started to take care of itself.
Wow, that's great. That's really great. We're going to break for a really short commercial, and when we come back, we are going to take up some more of the questions that we think will help all of you. So hold on.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a 3-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we've been talking to Michelle Pohl, who has been awesome, and she's been sharing with us our topic today, which is homeschool families who start in the public school. And you can find out more about Michelle at bloomingwithjoy.com. Well, Michelle, you have, done such a great job so far, and I can't wait to continue on here with our listeners. And you've been sharing how you have found, your balance over homeschooling, your daughter who started out and your second child, second oldest, who started out in traditional school. And so that had to be an adjustment. And, you mentioned at the beginning that you had a dream job that you gave up to begin homeschooling. What was that job?
Well, my passion has always been to encourage women, and I was employed as a sexual and domestic violence advocate. And so my job was to encourage these women as they found the strength to leave their abusers and to help them find a new life and find what their true options were. And also, I was helping build a recovery program with my local church. So I was helping many different types of addicts and people who struggle with different types of hang-ups and different habits in their life. And I loved what I did, but it didn't leave a lot of time for my family. So when God called me, it was very time-consuming. But it was good work, and it was very fulfilling. So it was very difficult to give up, and I had identified ministry with outside works, and God called me to come home, and showed me how valuable the ministry within my home is, and that's what homeschooling is. It's a ministry, and it's investing in our children's future and in God's kingdom.
Oh, it is. And I just love that, Michelle, because when you were talking, I was thinking, oh, I'm sure you did a great job, and what a blessing. And, of course, a lot of people, will use that as an excuse that, I feel like I've been called to this. But we really, I know it's not popular, and I know, it's not the thing that we hear other than in homeschool circles, people need to, women need to fulfill themselves. And even today I was talking to somebody and he said, well, it's about time for a woman president. It's about time for any president that is good that will lead our country, whether they're male or female. It's just, it's not a gender thing. It is more than that. Anyway, the point I'm making is that, we are drilled in with the society that we have to fulfill ourselves, and whatever our calling is, and then we can sugarcoat it however we want. But it takes somebody who really wants to follow the Lord and do what he asks, to sacrifice a bit. And I'm sure the Lord will use you in this capacity at some point, but I love that, you've given that to God and said, I want to be with my family and be obedient, and that, does, is so important. So, we were talking about, a lot of different things. And, you know, being that you were able to drop your kids off at school or they rode the bus or however, and they had that school routine, did you, you know, you said you at the beginning you recreated the public school at home. Are you still doing that?
No. No, okay. At the beginning, God called me to this, you know, to come home with my kids. So I thought this was going to be easy. And I was very naive in realizing how much work went behind it. You know, homeschool moms are hardworking, strong women. That's why we can do this. And so in the beginning, I had this ideal mind that everything was going to go smoothly and our house was always going to be clean. We were going to start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and we were going to get through all of our tasks. And I realized very quickly that that was just a myth off in my head and that it was quite a bit messier than that. So now our school day, I do try to get everybody up. I wake up closer to about 7. My family, my girls get up closer to 8, and they start with breakfast, and then we have a little morning routine, and then they start school by 9, and I let them choose, you know, which subjects they want to choose or to start with, and it's more relaxed. They can sit wherever they like as long as they're doing their work. If they are fidgety or not concentrating, they have to sit where I tell them to sit. But I've also found other manipulatives that work. My middle one would be labeled ADHD had she been in traditional school. But because I have her, I've realized what her quirks are, and she needs a constant bowl of snacks, and she has a 3DS that has Christian music on it. And if she puts her earbuds in with her snack and her clipboard, because I put all of her sheets on the clipboard and then we have some reading that's separate, I can get a lot more time out of her than I can if she didn't have her earphones in, because that keeps her from being distracted. Whereas if we were doing the traditional schooling, she'd be at a desk and she couldn't focus or concentrate because there's just too much happening around her that she wants to be in the middle of. So
that's really interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. I have one of my daughters always has the music on, and my son and I need it quiet. You know, we're more of the visual learner, and she's the auditory. You know, and so she can block that. Like to us, it's like you listen to the music, and it's hard to concentrate on what we're doing. You know, and for her, it's just like white noise. Like she'll even have music on when she's reading in her room. How can you do that? You know, that just, it just astounds me. I can have music on if we're talking, you know, like in the car, but it's really important that, you know, you see how your children can work. And I had to learn that. It took me, you know, mine wasn't so much taking my kids out of the school setting. It was taking the teacher, which is what my degree was in, out of me and, you know, finding the homeschool mom. Because I was laughing when you were talking about, well, we did do the Pledge of Allegiance. What's wrong with
we
that?
Did. We did, and we'd march in the front door.
they took turns holding the flag and arguing whose turn it was, so we got it on the little board, and then we said our prayers, and then, you know, we had, you know, to look out the window and find out, you know, what kind of day it was. We could set our calendar. And I think, you know, those kinds of routines are great for the little ones. And there really is nothing wrong with that. And now that my kids are teenagers, it's easier. We do our family prayer time at night, you know, before bed. That's when we all gather and we pray and we all, you know, take time to thank God for something specific. You know, we call it our little praise report, and everybody, you know, thanks God for something, you know, that happened that day. And, you know, it's totally different than when they were younger. But that keeps our family together, and it's something we continue to do. But whatever that little routine is, you know, it's fine, you know, and until you realize, you know, okay, so, you know, my children are older, or whatever time you feel that, you know, things will change, and you do change some of those things, as you find what works for your family. But the point I was going to make with my son, used to love to lay on the floor and have his feet on the chair and read. And that just bugged me to death. It was like, how can that be comfortable and how can you read and do that? This was my oldest. And finally, I said to him, okay, you know, this is your assignment. And when I let him lay on the floor with his feet on the chair, he was done in half the time, you know, because that was comfy for him. And the other thing, my kids always, you know, you talk about their snacks. Mine had to have water by their desk. And I remember one time a little boy at the park, you know, it was a homeschool gathering, was saying, you know, well, I'm going back to school, you know, whatever. He was almost middle school, and Neil looked at him and goes, well, I never want to go back to school. And he said, why? And Neil goes, I would be so thirsty if I'd be able to just get up and go get a drink. And I had to have my pencil sharpener. I mean, he had the electric pencil sharpener on his desk. I cannot tell you, since Neil has now graduated and he's an adult and, you know, off in the world, I think we went through 3 electric pencil sharpeners with his through his homeschool journey, and we got our 3rd one at the end, and we still have that one. I don't know what he did to them, but he used them so much. But you know, you do at some point relax a little bit, and you know, it's not an overnight thing. I mean, Michelle, you said you've homeschooled, you know, for 3 years, and I started homeschooling in 1986, you know, which is a lifetime ago. So, you know, you learn different things. I didn't homeschool my youngest 3 the same way I homeschooled my oldest 2. So, you know, those things have changed as well. I was a lot more creative and hands-on with the first 2, but they were both that type of learner. And the next, well, the 3rd one was also that kind of learner. But number 4 and 5 really, well, they're both in high school now too, but they really gravitate more to textbooks. And I was appalled. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm always bringing in other stuff, and they tease me about that. You know, mom wants to, you know, make school be 3 hours longer, you know, because to me it's like it's not real learning if you're just reading it. And so we have to, you know, we have to have these other things that we do so that it makes it their own. And then they have enjoyed it, but it, and they've always been home. So it wasn't that, you know, they like the traditional learning, but you know, you like, again, you have to see what works for your kids, and that is so great. And I hope anyone listening that has a child that, you know, maybe could benefit from this, you know, little, you know, adaptation, that's great. And so, you know, what do you wish that you had known that would have prepared you better? So if someone is listening today and is thinking about homeschooling and maybe wants to get some things underway, you know, what is something that you think might help them?
Well, like you said, electric pencil sharpeners, that would be my first thing. Buy an electric pencil sharpener. We didn't buy one until this year, and it was like, oh, the heavens opened up. So I would start with that. Another thing would be to schedule breaks. I mean, I'm a, what you probably consider almost a workaholic, and I love projects and I love doing things. And when we're in a learning, you know, mode, I want to stay there. But their little brains need a time in between, whereas I can keep going because that's just the way that I work. And I wish I would have taken more breaks. And I've had to learn that although we can get school done by noon, technically, we really need to be making it last all day to get those breaks in so they can have that time. Another thing that I would advise is to let your emotions settle. I mean, when you decide to homeschool, at first it's sometimes because of a tragedy or something has happened at school and you just want to take them out of school really fast. Or you get really excited about homeschooling and you're ready to start right away. But let those emotions settle and really make sure that you're making this decision and let your emotions settle so that you're prepared, because once that newness wears off, you know, it's hard work. So if you know that ahead of time and get yourself ready that this is going to be an exciting journey and you are going to enjoy it, but it's just like anything, it has a honeymoon season and then the hard work sets in. Another thing is to research your curriculum. know what's out there. Unfortunately for us, we didn't decide to homeschool permanently, or made our final decision until 2 weeks before the public school was starting. So I didn't get to go to the conventions and thumb through curriculum. So it was, I basically looked at my computer screen for about 2 weeks and ordered what I could find. But I wish I would have had more time to research. I would also say don't, in the emotion of wanting to homeschool, if possible, transition either at Christmas or during summer break and give your child that time to enjoy a break. So if you, it's easy during summer break because, you know, you've just finished public school, they'll have several weeks off, and then you start the conversations. Okay, we're going to start homeschooling soon, and you're going to be home, and it's going to feel like you're still on break, but we're going to start doing school, and kind of get them mentally prepared weeks ahead of time what's the changes that are coming, and that way they have time to let that sink in. And it's going to feel different. I know the first two or three weeks for us was hard because they were just coming off of summer break, and they still wanted to go outside and play and do all the things that they had been doing. But because I had mentally prepared them and they knew it was coming, we were ready to sit down and work hard. If you transition at Christmas break, one thing that families tend to do is start back to school as soon as public school starts. And I would suggest taking a few more weeks and take your Christmas break and enjoy it, and then take another 2 weeks and just get to know each other again and enjoy some field trips. Look through your curriculum, but I would just give yourself some time to sit de-school and de-stress. And then when they are getting ready to start, there's more excitement there, and you've built that anticipation, and they've had your attention, and it makes it a little bit more fun for them. Let's see, what else would I think that's probably all that I would suggest, except knowing that it's not going to go as planned. I mean, you can have all of your work and all of your schedules lined out, and you should be diligent and planning and making your lesson plans, your cleaning schedule, whatever it is that you need. That's good diligence, but it's not going to go according to that beautiful plan that you have written down on paper. So just know that ahead of time, and you'll give yourself a lot more grace.
Yeah, it's true. And one of the things I would recommend is that you do plan out your year. It sounds like an incredible amount of time to plan out. Especially for me, who is, I am not by nature a planner. In fact, my New Year's resolution was to actually make lists and stick to them. I make lists, but then I don't look at them anymore because they're in my head. And yeah, it's not a good way to run things through, you know, especially as I get older in my head. But we always planned out our year. And sometimes if we did unit studies, especially as they were younger, you know, if I got lost along the way, for example, going off on tangent, and that happens where the kids, you know, you might be studying, you know, bunnies in a science book, and then the next thing they want to go to the pet store and see the bunnies, and the next thing you see a bunny out in the yard, and, you know, before you know it, you know, you've been doing bunnies for a week, you know, or 2 weeks. My daughter, when her kids were little, they would do, like, weekly unit studies, and then they were on to the next thing. And she said, at this rate, we're going to be done with, you know, college by the end of their second year of homeschool. Because she was motoring through, but they were so little that that was okay. And, you know, she's funny because when you're an adult, and she was homeschooled as well, you know, she said, well, I'm already done with this, and I'm so over it, I want to go into something else. So it's not so much, you know, that you're doing it for yourself, you know, even though you don't consider that, but the thing is, it's not fun for mom when it's boring and you've already done it three times, you know. Mm-hmm. So you look at it as, okay, you know, I'm going to get lost along the way, so I've got this plan so that when I do get lost, I can look at it and say, okay, we may switch what we were going to do in April and bump it up to February, especially if I have the stuff on hand. Unit studies are a little bit harder, even though I sell unit study curriculum. If I was at a conference and was talking to a brand new homeschool mom, I would normally dissuade them from buying my curriculum. And, you know, as incredible as that is, my job is to make sure that they would want to continue homeschooling, and invariably the next year, or even the year after that, the same mom would come back and say, I am so ready for unit studies. I am so over doing a box curriculum because, mm-hmm. you know, the kids were losing interest and that kind of thing. But then you have some time, you know, unless you are a totally hands-on person, because it takes some time to plan, and that's why I would plan my year. So I knew, for example, in December, we're going to take a trip up to the mountains. I live in Florida, and we're going to collect rocks so that in March, when we study geology and rock formation, we'll have rocks that we can't find
yeah.
here. And
yeah.
so that was that planned ahead. And, you know, we even had, you know, a couple of years plan of co-ops that we were doing and different things that we were studying. So when opportunities came along, you know, we could use that as part of our learning. And I think one of the things that I loved about homeschooling was that the world is a classroom. You know, you can use this opportunity of being at home to learn so much that you cannot learn in a book. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is very difficult sometimes, especially when you talk to other moms. One conversation went like this, and this was a speech class my kids were participating in. One of the moms ran up to me all excited and said, you know, so what colors are you looking at for your children? And I said, I'm not. And she said, what? Well, we're thinking about Harvard or, you know, and if you haven't had this conversation with somebody, you will at some point. You know, it was like Ivy League schools, and I just kind of looked at her, and she was just shocked that I had not already, you know, had this all figured out. And I said, you know, she was surprised and said that. And I said, well, what's probably going to even surprise you more is I'm okay if my kids decide that they don't want to go to college. I said, let me preface it with, I am a college snob. You know, everyone in my family did not go to college, and I was one of the few that did growing up. And, you know, later on, a lot of my cousins did go to college, but they either went later on. Even my brothers didn't go to college until they were in their late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, I'm going to let my kids make their decision. I said, but I also am going to, you know, one of the things, they have to know what they're going to study. They need to have a
mm-hmm.
course of study. You don't just go to college because you want to play baseball, is what my son told me.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not a good enough reason. So, you know, it was just a shock to her, and she didn't know what to think because that's not what her homeschool looked like. Her homeschool
yeah.
was, you know, college prep. My homeschool was life experience, like you were sharing, Michelle, you know, getting our family together. I mean, even now, my daughter who's married, you know, if she finds out that we're going somewhere or going to do something, we always let her know because she might want to come.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's what you want in a family, you want your family to love being together, wanting to be together, you know, choosing to be with their siblings instead of, you know, their friends. Of course, it's not going to always happen. And of course, there are times when my
mm-hmm.
kids don't get along. But, you know, I love that my 19-year-old works now because he decided against college for now. And, so he's not around. So the other night, they were so loud, and I was getting ready for bed, and I came out of my bedroom and, you know, walked down the hall and said, what is going on? And there's Nick standing, leaning against Anne's dresser, and Anne's on one bed, and her cousin had been there, and she hadn't put down the trundle bed, which was still up. And, you know, Mike's on that bed, and Anne's like, we haven't seen Nick. We're catching up on stuff.
Oh,
you know, because
yeah.
They had a baseball game that night, and Nick's one of the coaches at the school, and Mike plays, you know, Mike plays at a Christian school that lets homeschoolers
mm-hmm.
play, and Nick's one of the coaches, and it was just, yeah, it's how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you've got a 19, a 14, and a just turned 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And
they value each other, yeah.
Yes, because they grew up together, they schooled together. And, you know, that to me is better than, you know, any dream job I could possibly think of or anything that I've done, you know, anywhere, is to have my kids, you know, love being together.
Yeah.
So that is so awesome. So, you know, by way of, you know, I think you've answered this question too, you know, what parents can do to prepare to bring their kids home. I think, you know, you've done a good job with that, with the two questions, unless you have anything else you wanted to add to that.
I would just encourage moms to make sure she's taking that time for herself, because it is so taxing and it is all day. And homeschooling requires diligence and requires us to be flexible. And that first year is a whirlwind, but it is also a long-term investment and one that God values. There's a passage that I do not have directly in front of me that when I believe it was Paul was telling one of the apostles which widows to look for and to take care of. And you said, you know, the widows must be of a certain age and she must have done good works. And the first good work he listed was raising children. And that passage has always struck me as that was something that is valuable, that God looks at as something important. Our society doesn't seem to see it as important, but the work that we're doing is important, whether it's changing diapers, going over fractions, teaching a child to write a college entry paper, whatever it is, it's good works and it's good ministry and it's good ground. And they're going to have discouraging days, but the wonderful, joyful experiences will completely outweigh those. I mean, kind of like childbirth. I mean, how painful is it?
Right.
But then you have this baby that is just, you just completely forget every labor pain you went through because look what God has done through that. And, you know, that's what I would encourage them with.
That's beautiful. You know, I did an entire series on Vintage Homeschool Moms on great ideas because, you know, when we think about things, you know, a lot of times you just, you know, say, oh, yeah, it's a good idea, I should write it down, or, you know, you pass it by, and then, you know, it's like, well, why didn't I think of that, or then you thought of something, and then somebody invents it, or that's what happened to me with bagel bites. I said, you know, we could have little bagels and make, you know, I'm Italian, make pizza with them, and then actually somebody, you know, invented it. But, you know, the thing is that that whole series came out of my encouraging the kids with their ideas. And that's the one thing, you know, I would really recommend with parents is that in homeschooling, one of the great things is finding out, you know, who your kids are and encouraging them to find the gifts that God has for them and to, you know, to dream big. And I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, dollars, but just in the sense of, you know, having a fulfilling life. Because, Michelle, you know, with what you've shared with us today, that is so important is that our kids are really, you know, what the Lord has given us. And they are such a blessing and they are really, truly worthy of our time. And you cannot outgive God. For everything that you've done, you know, for your kids and your family, you're really doing for him. And so, you know, he will bless that. He will bless that effort. And, you know, you've given us so many nuggets of wisdom that I hope that our listeners will go back and listen to portions of this audio again and then also reach out, you know, Michelle's website at bloggingwithjoy.com, and she does have a list that you can sign up for and contact her and also find her on social media, on Facebook. And, you know, that's where I found Michelle. And, you
yeah,
know, hopefully we'll hear. And, you know, hopefully we'll have you back, you know, Michelle, and address more of these issues as they come up. So, you know, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.